David went thence to Mizpah of Moab, and he said unto the king of Moab, Let my father and my mother, I pray thee, come forth and be with you, till I know what God will do for me. And he brought them before the king of Moab, and they dwelt with him all the while that David was in the hold. And the prophet of Gad told David, he said, Abide not in the hold, but depart and get thee into the land of Judah. Amen. The prophet told David, don't stay where you're at, David. He told him to move on and to move on with his life. If we go back a couple of chapters, we find that David was victorious over Goliath, and he was victorious because the Lord was with David. David had a relationship with God that was pretty outstanding. And he was victorious because God was with him, and David took the sword from the giant and he cut off the giant's head. And the Bible says that the Philistines saw their champion and they fled. And we see how the women mocked Saul and they turned to Saul and they said, Hey, David's killed his 10,000. Saul, you've only killed your 1,000. And women have a way of doing that, getting to a man's heart. And I can give you an example. One day I was doing a project around the house, and it didn't turn out too bad, I thought, but my wife looked at me, and she didn't say any words, but I could tell what she was thinking. It's not how my dad would have probably done it. So women can get to your heart in that aspect, but the women were saying, Saul, where's your victories at, man? You've only got 1,000, and David here, he's got 10,000 victories. And but we see that an evil spirit comes upon Saul, and he chased David around trying to kill him. He was trying to kill the man that the Lord anointed. So we can envision in our mind tonight a man on the run, a man that was desperate for a safe place to dwell. He was looking for safety, and he was looking for comfort. We go to chapter 21 and see that David and his men are hungry, and the priest gives them bread to eat and gives David the sword of Goliath. And David turns to the priest and he looks at him and he says, There's no sword like this sword. Because in David's mind, he's going back to a time when he was victorious, when he was standing upon a giant, and the priest gives him that sword and he's reminded of his victories that he had in his life. And he said that there is no sword like this sword. I remember how I had my foot on the giant and had his head in my hand. There's nothing like this. Amen. We read a little further. And David flees to the king of Gath. And he's reminded once again of his victories, except it is in a different manner. The servants don't see a man that was victorious. They see a man on the run. They see a man fleeing. The servants are not saying this time that David, you've killed your 10,000. You're great, David. But they question David's ability to fight as a man of war. And they say, isn't this King David the king of the land? Didn't they sing about this man? Didn't they sing how David slain his 10,000s and Saul only his 1,000s? Who is this guy? The Bible says that David put these words in his heart and he changed his behavior before them. He hid these words in his heart and it changed his very appearance. It wasn't the same man that once stood tall, victorious over Goliath. Amen. The Bible says that it describes him as a man, that he was just scratching at the gate and he had spit in his beard. Which leads us up to the scripture that we just read. We find David fleeing to the cave of Adullam, where everyone is in distress, in debt, and discontented. That seems like a great place to dwell, don't it? We can skip down a couple of verses and see that the prophet tells David to go to Judah. David has a decision that he has to make. If he decides to stay in Adullam, his whole army could be in jeopardy and be destroyed because of Saul. If he decides to stay there, it could affect the men's decision to fight because their minds aren't right. They're in distress and they're discontented, they're disoriented, they're out of their element. Because Judah was a land that was a hilly land, it was hard for the enemy to infiltrate that land. It was a land that was very hilly, it was a land where there was many victories won. Amen. We as a church can find ourselves in some of the same predicaments as David in our daily walk with God. Sometimes we find ourselves being tempted. We find ourselves in adversity in our schools because of our lifestyle that we live and our dedication to God and His people. We can find ourselves sometimes in places of debt and distress and just looking for a place to rest our souls. We can sometimes forget about what God has done in the past for us. We can sometimes just forget about all of our previous victories and the supernatural happenings in our life that once was. And that right there can determine our relationship with Jesus Christ, the cares of this world. Amen. The cares of this world, the things that we allow to enter in our heart and destroy our faith can very well cause us our walk with God. You're talking to a man with experience. In Mark chapter 4, Jesus is teaching and he tells of the seed that was sown and it was the Word of God. And there are two things that can destroy the Word of God in our life. And that's the lies of the devil, what we listen to, what he's telling us. And the second thing in that parable that he tells them is the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things that can cost us more than we want to pay. Amen. If we choose to listen to the lies of the enemy and we put the words in our heart just like David did, well, you'll never be able to do that for God. You'll never be able to serve the Lord like that person. Come on, somebody. This is real stuff. This is stuff that we hear on a daily basis. He whispers things in our ears that sometimes it's like, are you serious? Did you seriously just say that to me? And we don't have to walk around with a weak spirit and begin to listen to those things. The Bible says that we can be angry and sin not. And if there's anybody that we could be angry at, that's the devil. Amen. We can stand up and say, I have joy, I have peace in my life, and you're not going to take these things from me. Hallelujah. I get tired of I don't listen to them because I avoid them. I try to put on the whole armor of God, as the Bible says, but sometimes he just gets to you and you think in your mind, you did not just say that. But David put these words in his heart and it changed him personally. He went from a man of war that just had a great victory over Goliath. This was the little boy that was running around while all the men were hide behind rocks saying, what are you guys doing? And yet he found himself in the same place because he put the words of the people in his heart. How many of us have problems and how many of us have debt and how many of us can come tired in our spirit every once in a while? That goes without saying. Just as David had a decision to make on where to dwell, we are faced with the decision from time to time and the determination of our relationship with God is where we choose to dwell. David was faced with the decision of staying in Adullam or going to Judah. I believe that David knew if he could just get to Judah, that he could have another victory, for Judah was a very hilly land and it was hard to be conquered. Can I tell you that there is nothing like praise tonight? There is nothing like praise. When you come into the house of God and you are weak in your spirit, and all you can do is lift your hands, because when we come together and we begin to lift up the name of Jesus, it draws His very presence in this place. And there is nothing like choosing to dwell in the house of the Lord. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. The devil can't come in here and begin to infiltrate our praise when we all agree on the same thing. Praise God, you can't be defeated when you are with your brothers and sisters in the house of the Lord praising the name of Jesus. The devil can't. The Bible says that when you start to mention the name of Jesus, that he flees. Hallelujah. When you're tempted on your daily walk with God, when you're at your job or whatever you're doing, and he begins to tempt your weakness, all you got to do is whisper the name of Jesus and resist him, and he's gone. Praise God. Praise God. So we see that praise is the solution to our stress. Not too long ago, I heard Brother Graham say that he was being yelled at and he was being cussed at and everything under the sun. And he said there's nothing like being at church. It was medicine to him. Hallelujah. It's not that we come to church because of the people or the coffee. And those, I'm not trying to say those are all great things. And I love coming to church to see everybody and to worship with everybody. But these are all good things. But when we come together and the praises of His people begin to go forth, that the Bible says that He dwells in the praises of His people. I look back and I usually sit in the far back on the chair there, and I look around and observe just through different services up to this point, and I look out and I see so many people that's blessed me, because I know that their sacrifice of praise isn't easy, and sometimes their body might be in pain. I look out, he's not here tonight, I don't see him, but Brother Tony sometimes gets out in the aisle and he begins to do a dance, and some of you might not understand that, but some of you do. But he gets out there and he worships God in the way that, and it might, and that's the thing, when I worship God, it might not look good, but it's directed and its motives are right. Praise God. I see some of you that are older, and sometimes you might not be able to move like you once did, but I see you lift up a hand and begin to call on the name of Jesus, and to me that blesses me, because that lets me know that you know how to get into the presence of God. We can't be quiet when we praise God. Everywhere in the Bible, it was done with a loud sound or with a shout or with a dance or with music. Our praise and our love for God should never be determined by how we feel or how life is going at the time. I don't want to ever let my relationship with God depend on how my day at work went. I never want to let my relationship or my praise be determined by how much was in my bank account at the time. I never want to come in here and my praise be determined by a thought that has entered my mind that says, well, look what your life is right now. Look what you got going for you. And then the devil will begin to work. But I'm thankful tonight to know that I have elders in this church, and I've got a pastor, and I've got people in this church that know how to fight. And they know where they choose to dwell. Amen. Psalms 34:1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. David, all he did was believe the prophet. That's all he did. He just believed him, and he went to Judah. He went on to win many battles because he knew that Judah was a place that he could fight at. He went on to win many battles because Judah was the place that David knew that he could win his fight. We see that David is now the king, reading on a little bit further in a couple chapters further. And his army went from 400 to 30,000. And he is seeking to bring the ark to Jerusalem. As he is coming into Jerusalem, David and all the house of Israel begin to make music. They begin to play their instruments that they had at the time. And the Bible even says that when David saw the ark coming into the city, that he danced with all his might. It represented the very presence of God. David knew and understood that once he had the presence of God in his city, that everything was going to be okay. Hallelujah. Even David didn't care that his wife despised him at the time. He didn't care that she did not understand what was going on in his life. What was happening in the heart of a king that once was almost defeated in Adullam, he now saw the ark coming into the city that he had established. David was a man that knew how to get into the presence of God. It is very vital to us as the children of God to know how to get into the presence of God. And I know that this church knows how to do that. But more important than getting into the presence of God through our praise is knowing how to keep what we've been given. That's why Paul tells us to fight the good fight of faith. He tells us to put on the whole armor of God, because today, if we let down and show our weaknesses and let the devil try to make us fall, if we're not constantly on guard, it's going to open up things in our life that he can work with and he can destroy. Has anyone, I know we got some coal miners here. I'm a coal miner. Sorry, I'm going to talk about my job a little bit. And has anyone in here ever worked on hydraulic equipment or ran a dozer? And what happens when that hydraulic equipment does not have any oil in it and it begins to make a sound, don't it, Brother Price? It doesn't work. It begins to cavitate, and you can hear it start to whine in that machine. You'll pull it up a little bit further, and it'll stop a little bit further, and it'll stop. You'll try to run some of your functions on the machine and go up and down, and it'll be very slow until all of a sudden, if you don't get oil in that machine, the pump will burn up and you will no longer be of use. I don't want my life to go unfruitful for the Lord. If our music would come tonight, I want people to see the change in me, because I didn't choose to stay the man that I was once was, but I want my life and the years to come to bless those that are around me. I want people to notice the man that was before. I don't want them to notice him, but the man who chooses to praise and worship the Lord, though others might not. I don't want people to notice where I once was at in my life. But I want them to notice where I'm going. Just as David was in a place of decision in Adullam, he didn't stay there, but he went on to become the king of Israel and brought the Ark of the Covenant into his city. If we could all stand tonight. Psalms 27:4 says, one thing have I desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Nothing more beautiful than that. being able to come and see the fruit of the Spirit in some of you and in me also, and just begin to see what God does with a life that just offers itself to Him and chooses not to stay idle, but chooses to move forward with a praise. A church that praises God continually is a church that is victorious. It's a church that will go on to great places spiritually and spiritual growth. Amen. I'm just going to read some quotes that I found. And one quote says, "The more a mind thinks upon something, the deeper it will take root and affect all subsequent thought and related thought." Can I tell you tonight, if you've got something in your life and you don't take care of it, if you got something, this goes for anything, material things or spiritual things, but if you got something in your life and don't take care of it, eventually it will take place and take over in your life. Very simple. Very simple. If I don't go out of my backyard and begin to pull weeds and go out there and sweat in this hot August heat, I'm going to have a jungle back there. And it looks like it right now. The Bible says to love your neighbor, and I love my neighbor, but when they planted that squash plant or whatever that's on my fence, God bless them. I'm going to invite them to church. Never pray to be a better slave when God is trying to get you out of your situation. You build on failure. You use it as a stepping stone. Close the door on the past. You don't try to forget the mistakes, but you don't dwell on it. You don't let it have any of your energy or any of your time or any of your space. I believe Brother Cash said that. If David would have stayed in Adullam or even turned around and went back to his father's house to tend sheep, he would have never established the city of David. If he turned around and went back to what he'd done before, he would have never went on to do greater things for God. I'm asking you today, where do you find yourself at in your spiritual walk with God? Not necessarily talking about turning around back to sin, but if you could just have a little faith and let that be your shield against some of the lies of the enemy. Don't ever listen to what he has to say about, if you want to step out and do something for God, do it. Amen.
Yes.
There was a prophet that told David, he said, "David, do all that's in your heart." He said, "David, do all that's in your heart for God."